Training this evening, it's a mandatory training, so we're not going to delay any further. So you guys all good with that? Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Okay, so y'all are no strangers to Joe, and we brought Joe in to kind of talk through some of the stuff that you have seen, and it's been tweaked a little since his early renditions of it. So Joe, if you want to give them the highlights and your opinions on where we're at, where we're going, and more importantly to me, as your suggestion on timeline. So,
thank you, Kevin, and good evening, board. I'll get in front of the camera and block it. I think one of the primary questions that y'all are mulling over is when should you go forward with an election, and you know, of course, what's going to happen in the market, in the bond market between now and then. Currently, if you were selling today, we're still bouncing off all-time lows, which would be 20-year debt. As crazy as it sounds, you'd be probably right under 2%. So I put this up fairly high, given that we're probably 18 to 24 months out from selling.
You all should have a written handout with this.
We got the, I don't know that we have a handout, but we've got it in the board
book. Where's the Wi-Fi password?
One side, there should be copies as well.
Wildcats.
If there are, I don't think they got distributed unless they're on the table.
It's Wildcats with an AS and some aspirin. Like a at sign?
I got that, but I'm really more.
No, it's fine. I'm good. Trust me.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm good.
Let me move over, Jackie. No.
I know, but now I'm like, yeah, are you about to pass out?
No.
Did you want these to go all the time?
No,
I promise.
Yeah, I feel so confident.
Well,
that's why I broke. That's why.
Oh, I did.
Suzanne's a flag, isn't it?
Okay, don't.
No, I was never one.
Sorry about that.
I don't know how to do any of that.
You don't?
No. I was a salesman.
Okay. You were a salesman. That doesn't help, does it?
So we added, I added quite a bit, what seems to me like quite a bit, 75 basis points at least. Currently what we're hearing from the consensus of economists is they expect over the next 2 years that we're not going to see a wholesale rise. The economy still seems to be struggling from COVID. And as far as inflation as a driver of interest rates up, they don't see a whole lot. There's some thought that with the new tax plan, there'll be some reaction in the marketplace that would drive rates up a little bit. However, higher tax rates equate to more demand for tax-exempt bonds, right? So it's one of those that we probably see the spread move. With that being said, from where we stand now, this seems like a conservative rate. So 275, I think, is a good proxy for where you might be in the future. And that just is still something that's hard for me to wrap my mind around, 20-year debt at that rate, because we haven't been there in a long time. In fact, the first time in my career was a sale at Splendora ISD when we broke 5%, and I was just beside myself. And now we're down at rates that I just, like I said, it's hard to wrap my mind around. But 275 is at least 80 basis points above where we are today. So if you think in terms of that, in you don't see wholesale spikes up very often like that, but they do happen. And that's, I guess, what you can say is one of the outside risks, is that there's some kind of external event other than the typical monetary flows that would cause rates to move up. That being said, if we do just a base case and say it's an even rate and compare what happens to your bond payments between a June 22nd sale or an August 22nd sale. It's not a whole lot. That's a November election versus a May election. Now, the November election could be pushed up. You wouldn't have to wait until June, but we get into a little bit of a tax flow or tax law problem in that we're restricted in having a long first coupon, waiting beyond 12 months before we start to pay on a debt obligation. So the absolute soonest this could be sold would be, you know, kind of the February to the March delivery. That would add to this payment amount here, which right now is about $1,765,000. General fund would need to cover a minimum of $1,190,000, but could possibly be up at the $1,765,000. That gets down to the truth in taxation laws. You'd be setting your tax rate before we had issued this debt, right? So we'd have to clear with legal counsel, would we have to do general fund the full amount, or could we apply any surplus that it looks like we might have to pay down on that debt issue because we are anticipating that sale? So that's just kind of one of those questions we'll get cleared up, but the $1.7 million would be the payment. And that is interest only. Your interest would start to accrue in June, and your first payment would come due in the following fiscal year, February 15th of 2023. And that's true for these two issuance.
Okay. Joe, can I stop you real quick?
I'm sorry?
But you just said that's interest only.
Yes, this payment here would be interest only. In 2023, we're not amortizing any principal. It's just interest.
So would there, even if it went up to 3%, we would never recover that, right? I mean,
you would, I'm not sure what you mean by recover it. You would not get any state aid because it has not qualified and will not qualify as eligible for existing debt allotment until you make a payment in the 2023 fiscal year. That will make it qualified, and as you recall, you have a drop in debt service. That's why we have to have a payment in 2023 before the end of the state fiscal year, which is August 31st. So we have to get a payment on the new debt in that year. That will make it eligible for existing debt allotment. And as your other debt falls off, this can slide in. And that's what makes all of this work at holding your tax rate at 43 cents. But if you sell early, in both of these cases, you're going to be having a payment in February 15th and August 15th of 2023. And we make that interest only to minimize this amount. No, we have to make that as low as we possibly can. We're not going to amortize any principal until we get into the next fiscal year.
So what I meant by that, and I may not say this correctly, but the reason we wanted to look at doing this now versus next November in 22 was because the interest rates are so good. Mm-hmm. So where I was going with that is, let's say we didn't do this right now and the interest rate went up to 3%. We would be still better off to pay 3% than we would be to pay $1.7 million in interest only. Or is that not an accurate statement?
That is not an accurate
statement. It is not. Okay.
What the difference... this would be a higher payment at 3%. Mm-hmm. But I guess, wait a minute, I'm not sure I'm following your question completely.
Let me see if I can touch it, Joe. Basically, your, that interest payment is interest on your note. You're just satisfying that interest payment because you haven't yet made your initial amortized payment.
Right, to get the state.
You're grabbing the interest. You're not taking any of the principal at that time just to keep our cost down. We could grab that first payment with its principal and make it, but it drives those costs up.
This is where I'm going, and I may not be. Do we lose money? So that's 3%, 0.25% more than 2.75, right? But do we lose money? You think, oh, well, gosh, it's not as good as 2.75, so you're going to lose out if you don't get the 2.75. But in this case, the payment in 2023 is $269,000. This is 1.7.
Correct.
Are we losing money by trying to do this at the 2.75 when we're paying this in interest when right here we're only going up 0.25%? And that's a big difference to me, this 269 versus
this. You're losing
this.
Fund balance, but you're just paying front loaded debt.
But you're paying interest.
Right.
So how much are you willing to lose?
I follow your question here. This doesn't really show it well because right here what I did is I pushed principal down. And I said, okay, if we go up to 3% because we waited, our bond capacity is driven down to have the same payment, right? The same payment amount that puts us at our cap. So we lose,
capacity.
You know,
yes,
1.2 million. Mm-hmm. And pay 270.
The same price.
So it's about $1.5 million.
Yeah,
this
I
is
see that's where that's okay.
So this is cost
7.7 to get 55.
Okay, I'm there now.
53.
Yeah, from that, this is same. Costing you a little bit in interest that you draw down your fund balance. And that's a good point because you're having, you know, you're getting that money up front, but you're paying, interest only on it. In this case, we'd be about 14 months of interest. Is that right?
The hidden impact with that scenario right there is, if we draw down, if we have to draw down $1.8 million in fund balance, and we're tight as it is, and we're talking about land purchases and stuff, that's not going to be there to buy that next site. So that's a risk in itself right there.
And that's only for the early.
Correct.
Right.
For the first two.
If we did
November
2022.
It's not as hot, you know, what is it, a couple hundred thousand different between November and May?
Right.
And the delivery date. Again, I don't understand all of this, but more importantly, if you have a November bond, you have a delivery date of June.
You could push this up. You could make this sooner. That would make this number go up. Right, because we'd be adding months to this.
So it costs us more money.
It would cost you more money, but you could get into the market sooner. You know, we need a good 120 days after an election to pull a package together and be able to market bonds. But then you have tax law that comes into play. So you'd really be looking at, you could push this up 4 months, that would drive this up.
If we go to May, we don't really have that type of penalty.
No, if you have May, because you would be able to do a payment in 2/15 of 23, our tax law issue becomes from this date. Needs to be less than 12 months to your first payment, which would be February 15th of 2023. So the soonest this could be would be February 15th of 2022, and that would be 1 year. And other than that, we get into tax problems, federal tax problems.
Right.
don't like that word.
Yeah, we don't like that word. And we're working around state tax law problems or issues in truth in taxation, and can we apply tax rate to this, you know, can we levy the tax? And we'll work through that issue. Yeah, that's the gist in this. The difference in this just being 2 months. I did this so that we could get this in and levy a tax for it going into that next fiscal year. Or at least, you know, that's the thought process. Because at August 2023, that's our cutoff for state funding the following year. And that's why we need this issue to be qualified. If we have a tax that we would be levying, I guess, you know, or 43 cents in this option. Is this the 43 cent one?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 43 cents. You could levy the 43 cents and flow this in. So I guess that answers that question there. We shouldn't have a tax issue here, because we would be out, we levy the 43 cents to the extent there's surplus on the 43 cents to cover anything of this, which our projections were there would be a little bit, which is why that was down. You should be good. And then in this case, we're past the point where you would levy a tax. You have a November 22 election, we sell in June. We have to get a payment in on August 15th, right? So we may even move that up to May if we could, just so that we can get that payment in, and that qualifies all the debt service for that issue to be eligible for EDA.
In that, are we in that biennium at that point?
No, we're not. We're not into that biennium until we start the 24 fiscal year. But it's the last year, like now, we are in the last year of a biennium. And
you want to be in the first year.
In session, and they're going to look at what did you levy for a debt service tax this year, and what was your ADA. And that's how they're going to calculate your cap for EDA.
But we have to make that payment in the first year of the biennium, right?
You have to have a payment in the last year of a biennium to qualify
for the next
existing
one.
Debt, right? Okay. The way existing debt is set up is you've got at least a year or a single payment on your own, no state aid. And then it will be qualified in the following biennium. But you really need to be able to either set a tax to cover the debt, or in our case, we need to have this debt qualified as our other EDA debt falls off, this slides in, and we'll be maximizing our EDA because we're going to be at the 29 cents, is what we've assumed here. We make the 29 cents, we're maximized on the EDA, and then you'll wind up picking up a little bit of it with straight tax rate to the extent necessary. So, you know, back to the question, what election date makes the most sense? From a finance guy standpoint, you know, given that I don't that we currently don't have any information that rates are going to rocket up, and this is about 80 basis points or so above where we are now, I like getting closer to this date. That's cutting it a little bit close, just because you'd be turning around from a November election and getting into the market fairly quickly. May elections are fairly popular. That gives you plenty of time. To me, November is cutting it close, but, you know, in terms of getting everything prepared and ready. So while this one feels the most comfortable, maybe, if not this one. I don't really see, from what I'm reading and hearing from the finance people, or economists that are making the projections, a wholesale pop-up in rates. Now, you know, external factors, global forces, somebody does something crazy and you don't know what's going to happen with rates. But
that's the same thing that they were talking in the Midwinter Conference this week on the finance side. They're estimating that not a lot of jump move for the next 2 years.
Right. Well, I guess my that's one piece of it. I guess I'm still confused. Where would we have to make to hit the biennium payment?
That's what I'm trying to, my brain is not on that.
If we did one in November, would we hit that end of the biennium payment so we get the state aid?
All of these hit the biennium. Without getting this debt qualified for EDA, this part amount just crashes down. We all of these are predicated that we get a payment in before the deadline of August 31st, 2023, so that this issue becomes qualified for existing debt allotment. So yes, that's all of these get us qualified to begin receiving EDA in the biennium that starts with the 24th fiscal year.
It's just that the November 22 does it without costing us 1.2 to 1.8 million at the fund level. Correct.
That's correct.
And the May would, and that's where we have to really watch if we're spending, you know, wanting to spend money on real estate, right?
That would be the booger in the room for me.
So we missed, if we wanted to qualify the 2 years before the 20, we've already missed that date.
Oh, yeah, it's gone. That was so August 31st, past August 31st.
Okay.
So we're in, I had to get myself a little chart. So just for me to be clear, we're in the last year of the biennium now, 2021.
Right.
The payment year, even if we did it this year, the payment year would not be until 2022, which would also end up being the qualifying year, and we wouldn't get state aid until 2023. So even if we went in November of this year, we would not get state aid until 2023. Is that correct?
2024 is the first year you would get state aid.
2024.
You need a payment in 2023 during the state. The state runs a year of 630 fiscal. The state is an 831 fiscal, and they run their world off of 831. Okay, so 831-23.
Yeah.
We have to have a payment prior to that debt. So we have to vote, sell, and have a payment before August of 2023 to get state funding beginning in 2024.
I understand, but that's too, Joe, my years are off. If we had an election in November of 2021, we just need a payment before 2023?
So if we wanted
for
to
that,
because in my mind the whole time, the only reason I ever brought up, let's go fast, is because I thought we could hit one of these payments before, but we missed that window. That would have been August 2021.
Yes.
That ship has sailed.
Right.
The next maximum return date or minimum effort locally is August 2023.
Unless we did a May 2021 election, which we are not going to do.
Because
that's the only way to get in a payment in August of 2021. There's no way of doing that.
Yeah, because we're already 60 days from May.
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So there's no way of getting a payment in 2021. So, but a payment in 2022, though, that's year one of the biennium. And what matters is that there's a payment in year two. So the qualifying year is 2023. So that's kind of crazy to think, you're, to your point, why go in November of 2021 if the payment year is not going to be 2022, and its qualifying year is the second year is 2023, and we get state aid in 2024.
Yeah.
Okay.
We missed them.
And then we're also up front loading 1.7 in interest.
That's a worry.
Yeah.
Well, we're paying out of pocket with no state help.
Yeah, and it's all interest.
If it doesn't pass, you wait 7 months, 8 months?
If you go here and it doesn't pass, you would have a chance to regroup and call there if you want it. Right? At the next election day and still hit the cycle.
What's the cost of a May election, though? Is there, I know there's some cost to it. Is it minimal?
It's never minimal.
That's what.
I want to say $14,000, $15,000. Yeah,
$14,000.
Yeah, is there?
When you're talking.
Yeah, I just, you know, it's something.
Again.
But is that the difference in the May versus November election?
The May is because you take on more of.
The portion of it.
Fewer people.
I just remember one year we saved money when we
decided. More people on the ballot and split the cost.
More entities on the
ballot. And is that our only two options now? May and November?
It's still out there, but.
They're trying to get it all in November split.
Yeah,
but that's what. Is May our only other option?
I think so. Right?
That's correct.
Is it worth going to May to.
I mean, because the old way we could pick a date, right?
That's right, and
they close
that. I haven't heard of a bill being filed yet that limits us to a single election, but when was last session? It didn't pass, and I wouldn't be surprised if that came out again. The deadline to file bills hasn't passed.
No. I was looking around. I was trying to get straight, too.
Any more questions?
There's what the... maximum tax rate numbers look like, if y'all just wanted to see that in comparison.
And the big difference in this would be that you're levying a tax in 50 cents after the election. So in 2023, instead of leaving the tax rate at 43 cents, as soon as the election passes, we're moving it up.
Which one? In all of these,
with the 50 cent limit. I think this one we actually can get through and do it the following year. But in these two, we're moving up to 50 cents right after the election, because from a timing standpoint, we can get it in, and you really need to. That draws down the amount that you would have to draw from general fund significantly.
And if we max out 50 cents, we're still, are we getting EDA are we getting the combination of IFA and EDA for every penny at that point?
Well, recall that IFA is tied to individual bond issues, and those will eventually pay off. In fact, you know, you've got 10 years or so before you have a drop in that. EDA, with both of these scenarios, we're maxing it out. Okay, our projections are that we're going to hit that 29 cent limit, and we're done at that point as far as any additional EDA help. So everything else is on you.
I guess that's what I'm asking is, when we hit that 29 cent limit, are we also hitting the 50 cent limit?
In this scenario, yes. Because you hit it in the other. At 43 cents, we're projecting you're going to hit that 29 cent limit, which is, you know, okay, we're going to maximize everything that we've got coming from the state. This winds up, you're carrying with 7 additional cents direct debt.
Mm-hmm. Right. No help. Okay.
All on your own.
So, of our existing debt, how many pennies are we getting the IFA?
Oh, let's see. You're Your EDA is right, is hovering around 27 cents, I think, right now, and we're at 43, and the rest of it is flowing to IFA.
Okay. So as far as maximizing the 29 cents, we've only got about 2 pennies there.
You've only got 2 pennies, right. But remember, what makes all of this possible is that drop in debt service. You're having an EDA debt payoff, which is why we've got to get this qualified to be EDA eligible. And then when that other debt falls off, this kicks in.
Oh, that's right, because that does line up with what we...
The guaranteed yield
right.
is much more... We're getting the state aid, and as far as leveraging the taxpayers' money locally, that's the best return. Because once we get over the EDA mark...
But the maximum is 29 cents.
For EDA.
Yes.
But the maximum tax rate is 50 cents.
Right.
So there's that gap. And that gap, we're all on our own, and that goes by our wealth per student, which, despite our wealth per student being much higher than it used to be, is still not, our yield per penny at that point is not very high.
Yeah. Not enough neighborhoods yet.
Any other questions for Jeff?
Yeah. Not enough.
I don't want to rush.
Now you
okay, no, I know.
Y'all,
we've got
a
brick and mortar neighborhood yet.
What was Joe's recommendation? Or is it really?
I think your recommendation will be November 22, right?
I mean, yeah. Either May or November. You know, I think with as much work to get ready for an election, getting citizens committees together, getting an architect in to give preliminary cost estimates, it is an awful lot to try and do in that short period of time. Usually this is, you know, an 18-month process of preparing to go. So
the information we sent you guys from StanTech today, I'll have Laura go back and adjust for May of 22 and November 22, and we can have that discussion in our agenda review.
Please stop talking.
I'm sorry.
Poor guy.
I sent you an email. Because we're also, like our facilities committee, we're trying to figure out, because they constantly get you every time. You know, we don't want to not burden you every time we want to run a new valuation or number. I guess, is there a formula or some kind of standard you can kind of show us for every 100 kids?
I wish it were that simple. The state has a formula.
Highly guarded formula.
And the big drivers on it are going to be not necessarily your value. I mean, it's your value, but it's the comptroller's assigned value to Splendora ISD and not Montgomery County Appraisal District's value. Because the state disregards what the appraisal district says and has the comptroller run the values, right, of what it's worth. Or the, you know, comes up with their value using whatever methodology they use. And they apply that to state funding formulas. Okay, and then your ADA are the big drivers in that. And while I can put a chart together based on our assumptions that we used for this, which I think is good for looking out a year or 2 years, but it doesn't take into account really some of the logarithmic value change you're going to have in, I think, not only value as you start having the housing boom come in, but that's also going to bring kids into your system. And we're just running a flat 10% AV growth, 200 students a year. Now, I can put together a chart that does that. What that chart looks like is the percentage of state funding going down and local funding going up. But that's about, you know, that's about the, right now, probably the best. Once you have a demographic study complete, that will give you a better idea, and we may be able to take that and back into some value projections, do a little bit, you know. I mean, we kind of came up with this pretty simply looking at, you know, what the historical trend has been. And trend analysis is great until...
Trends change.
Yeah, the trend's great until you break out of it. And I think y'all are about on the cusp of breaking out of it.
But I don't see us getting over the guaranteed yield. Within our valuation, I don't see...
It's something I could run out. I think it's it falls pretty rapidly. You know, it might be 10, 12 years out before you would get there based on the schedules that I have been running. But you do, eventually it runs out simply because I'm doing a linear track. So eventually it will cross over. So I can put that... I can put something like that together, but for really long-term planning, I would caution you on its accuracy.
Yeah, because I was thinking, if you take the guaranteed yield number times the 100 students, that lets us know how much additional funding we'll get, you know, on the INS side.
That changes every year based on the relationship and rate of growth between assessed value and your student population. Just like the legislature moved the maximum funding on the guaranteed yield from 35 up to 40, but it's also based on statewide use of EDA. That wound up being a figure of like $38.58 in fiscal year 2019, or 2020, I guess, 2020. And this year it's projected to be $39.05. So even their yield formulas
shift.
Okay. So
hard to make long-term plans when we don't have.
It is.
Thank you, Joe. Thank you very much for everything. That clarified a lot.
Thank you, Joe.
All right.
I appreciate it.
So next thing we have is the workshop. So we have a mandated 3-hour workshop. And let's get some.
I was like, I'm just setting
it out there. So, you know, everything, anything less than that will look good.
Yeah, so let me say one thing.
Yeah.
So we did send you guys some information from Laura today. Mm-hmm. So just look, I know it came late. So we'll have her back that up and do May of 22 and November 22. And we can discuss this at the. Agenda review next week.
Okay. Thank you.
Because now if we're not going to go November 22nd, so if you're okay, just looking at this later and getting some questions and send it to us, that'd be great.
And the land committee continues to meet and all of those things happening.
We'll have some updates on them.
Yeah,
that's great.
We're moving.
Okay. Yeah, because that's still, the more time we have, but the better planning is good too. Okay, so. We're moving over here?
Yeah,
we're moving. I'm going to get some.